So today's reading is Psalm 1. That's on page 543 on the Bibles in front of your seats. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jonathan. If you're able to keep that open, I hope that'll be very helpful for you. Let's pray. And I'm going to pray by reading some words from Psalm 19. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Oh, dear Father, we ask that by the work of your Spirit, we may find these things to be true today as we look at this psalm together. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll know that Prince Harry has been in the news this week with his forthcoming tell-all book. And of course, an awful lot is being said about it. One thing that's gone viral are the comments of former Royal Marine, Ben McBean, who said, "Love you, Prince Harry, but you need to shut up." But look at what he said next. Makes you wonder the people he's hanging around with. If it was good people, somebody by now would have told him to stop. And reading that quote just reminds you, doesn't it, of how important the decisions we make about who to hang around with, who to take advice from. So at the start of a new year, think for a moment, who do you choose to hang around with, to share a close relationship with? Are there organizations or clubs that you are a member of? Causes that you support? Close Christian fellowship, like a growth group? And who do you take advice from? Do you have an older kind of mentor type person? What do you read or listen to that influences you? A newspaper, a podcast, a preacher? We all have these people. And it's worth thinking about who they are and the influence they have. And is it a good influence? Would you give this some honest thought at the start of a new year? Well, our psalm today is going to remind us how hugely important these decisions are. Who you listen to and associate with, that's a decision that determines your destiny. Now, Psalm 1 is about wisdom. It's actually quite similar to the Proverbs that we studied last year. Most of the Psalms are prayers, and it was, as we've heard, Israel's songbook. We're studying them so that we can grow in prayer as a fellowship and in singing. But Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are a little bit different. They act as gateposts marking the way in to this songbook. And they set up for us two vital themes: the righteous person in Psalm 1 and God's King in Psalm 2. And Psalm 1 is getting us to think about, to meditate on who we listen to and join in with. A decision that determines our destiny. Now, I've got four big questions that I think the psalm is asking of us today. And here's the first one. Do you want to be happy and secure? Have a look again at Psalm 1. Just that first line. Blessed is the man. Let's think about this word, blessed. To bless someone is to approve of them. And this is, of course, about who God approves of. And if God approves of you, it will result, as we'll see here, in your flourishing. It will lead to true happiness. And so this sentence has sometimes been translated as, happy is the man. Happy is the man who rejects one type of voice and listens to another. And we all face this kind of choice. In fact, the human race has always done, right from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had to choose whether to listen to God or to the voice of the devil through the snake. And we saw then, it's a decision that determines your destiny. But what does this blessed person reject? Well, have a look again at verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way, the road, that is, of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Three ways of describing the ones he doesn't listen to. First, it's to do with his thinking. He doesn't walk in their counsel. He doesn't take their advice. Second, it's to do with his lifestyle. He doesn't stand in the way, he doesn't stand in the road that sinners are going on. And then third, he doesn't sit in the seat of mockers. He doesn't join with them, heart and soul, and sit down with them. And especially, he doesn't share their attitude. A mocking attitude, probably mocking God and his people. That's not the most wicked thing you can do, but if you're mocking God, it's a difficult place to come back from, to turn back to God from. And there seems, doesn't there, to be a sort of progression here from walking to standing to sitting. If you go down this way, then you will become solidified in this lifestyle. And the blessed person avoids this completely. But how does this blessed person avoid going this way? Well, have a look at verse 2, the positive alternative, who they listen to. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now, the law of the Lord is a shorthand for the first five books of the Bible, what in Hebrew is called the Torah. And it's a much broader concept than law in English. It includes all of the history of what God has done to save his people and all of his instruction that he's given in his word, in the scriptures. So the blessed man is the one who listens to God's words. If we're going to avoid listening to these sort of bad voices in the world, then we need a positive alternative, and that is God's word. But it's more than that. Do you see? He delights in it. He delights in what God says. And I wonder, do you find you can delight in God's words? Even in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books. And in fact, in all of the Bible, is the Bible a place where you can feel at home in, delighting in the Lord? The Bible had been, in the past, a closed book to me, a dead letter. But after I became a Christian, it was like it became alive and full of surprising riches. Well, this person delights so much that they can't stop thinking about it. The word meditate in Hebrew is the opposite of the Eastern meditation that's quite common at the moment, because it's not about silence. Usually they vocalized what they were thinking about. And it's not about emptying your mind. It's rather filling it up with thoughts from God's word. And you may have seen a photo or a picture of a Jewish person at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem with the scriptures, quietly speaking and murmuring away. And that's this tradition of meditating. And he does it day and night. That's a poetic way of saying that the blessed person has the scriptures constantly in his mind and on his lips. This is what Joshua, that great leader of Israel, was told to do. In Joshua 1 verse 8, he said, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And we see that in verse 3. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers." There's nothing living, is there, that's more solid than a tree. And streams of water means it's constantly irrigated. Unlike in that part of the world, there were often downpours or droughts. This tree is one that is constantly watered. And the key for us, avoiding spiritual dryness and feeling far from God, is this constant meditation and delight in his word. This is the way to life and spiritual prosperity. I wonder, do you believe that the words of the Bible are that good for you? It was at her coronation that Queen Elizabeth was given a Bible, and these famous words were said, "We present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the lively oracles of God." Do you want to be happy and secure? I'm sure you do. Well, Psalm 1 shows us the way. But conversely, do you want to lose everything and miss out? Well, of course not. But this is the destiny of what this psalm calls the wicked. Look at verse 4. "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away." Now, if a tree is a solid thing in nature, chaff is the opposite. After the corn harvest, the stalks are winnowed, the heavy grains are extracted, and the chaff is the stuff that is left, the husks and the bits of straw. It's rootless, weightless, and blown away. And that's the picture that the psalmist wants us to have of the destiny of the wicked: losing everything and missing out. And the teaching of Jesus builds on this in the images that he has in his parables. He often talks about the harvest and a coming separation of the human race into two camps, righteous and wicked. This is such an important picture to get into our minds. The way of the wicked will end like this. Now, at the moment, the wicked in the world look so strong. So often they are the great ones, the opinion formers, the powers. But the day is coming that will expose them for what they really are. As David says in Psalm 37, he said this, "I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found." And as he makes it clear in the next verse of Psalm 1, "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous." At the judgment, the wicked will literally not have a leg to stand on. And they will not be allowed to be among God's people. They will lose everything and miss out. Now, this is hard, isn't it, to think about? But there is an encouragement here, because sometimes we despair as Christians. We think, we look so weak, the world looks so strong. But this is saying that the true people of God are like trees, and the worldly ones will be like the chaff that is suddenly swept away. Do you want to lose everything and miss out? Of course not. So we need to be asked this third big question. Do you believe that your decisions determine your destiny? Verse 6 concludes, "For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So this blessed person is now called righteous. And he finds that the Lord is watching over him. Literally in the original, the Lord knows him. It's a personal relationship of care and protection. What a great destiny. Eternal life, says Jesus, is to be known by God. But the way of the wicked will perish. Their hopes and plans will not bear fruit. Their way is a road to nowhere. Their achievements will come to grief. Now, the Old Testament only had a very sort of partial and shadowy vision of life after we die. But the New Testament makes it clear that this image here applies to eternity. Our decisions determine our destiny. And the stark thing about this psalm is that it divides people into two categories, the wicked and the righteous. And there's no third way. There was a word used in politics a few years ago when it was in vogue to take the best of the left and the right and find a third way. But this psalm is saying that when it comes to God and the world, there's no third way. A great division is coming. There will be no neutral ground for you to stand on, no spiritual Switzerland. As Jesus puts it, you can't serve two masters. This is what Psalm 1 is telling us. Will you believe it? That your decisions determine your destiny? If you want to have a bit more of a think about this, can I recommend this book? C.S. Lewis wrote an imaginative parable. That's what it is. It's quite a short book. It's called The Great Divorce, The Great Separation that is happening. A bunch of people from hell, in his imagination, go on a day trip to heaven. And they can't cope with it. Heaven's people are so solid, so throbbing with life and weight and joy. But the people of hell are light. They're like ghosts. And they're bitter about all that they've lost. And they can't even see the situation they're in. Even the blades of grass in heaven hurt their feet as they touch it. It is a vivid, actually at times humorous book about how a great division is happening in the human race. It's real. And it's about how we can make sure that we choose life. Well, there's a book recommendation for you. Do you believe that your decisions determine your destiny? And so the vital final question, how can you make sure that you are happy and secure and don't miss out and lose everything? It is, of course, the million-dollar question. And it takes us back to where we began. Who will you listen to and hang out with in 2023? Will you decide to listen to God first? For instance, will you decide to read your Bible day and night? Will you decide to make a commitment to hang out with and have close fellowship with Christian believers, possibly in a growth group or EPIC? Will you decide not to go the way of the world this year? Now, of course, we're not called to withdraw from the world, but as it's been said, to be in the world, but not of the world. To have friends and try and win people to Christ, but not to become like them, not to yoke and join our hearts to their hearts. If you are single and will have choices about a life partner, it's a reminder, isn't it, that who you join with is of great importance. Psalm 1 warns us of the danger of joining with someone of the world. It is a very common route away from Christ. So will you decide this year to live faithfully in the world and not get entangled in its ways? But there is a problem with saying this. If you make such a New Year's resolution, can you keep it up? Have you ever been able to keep the Bible as your delight, meditating day and night? Have you ever been able to totally keep yourself from bad advice, Surely there have been times when you've thought, yes, there are some advantages to be found in a little bit of wickedness. The truth is that you and I haven't and can't. Because there's only one man who has ever done and intended to do Psalm 1 perfectly. It says, blessed is the man. And it's interesting that in the Hebrew it is the man. And that's because there is only one. His identity is to be found by recognizing, as I said before, that Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 go together. Both are about the way to be blessed. Both include meditation. Both include an alternative way that ends in ruin. The blessed man of Psalm 2, we will see, is none other than the Lord's Messiah of Psalm 2. Sorry, did I say Psalm 2 first? The blessed man of Psalm 1 is the Lord's Messiah of Psalm 2. The one who is the king who fulfills this amazing prophecy in Deuteronomy. Let me read it. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law. And not turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. But only one man fulfills that, fulfills Psalm 1 and 2. Only one is fully blessed by God for refusing the ways of the wicked and delighting in God's law. And he demonstrated it when he was tempted by Satan in the desert to go the way of the world. Just have a listen to these quotes. He quotes from Deuteronomy very significantly and says, when he's tempted, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then later he said, again when tempted, it is written, he was tempted to worship, to take power in the world and worship Satan. He said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He is the blessed man of Psalm 1. How can you make sure you are happy and secure? Well, only by trusting in this Jesus and blessing him. For it's in his kingdom that there is salvation. In relationship with him, we may, in his strength, as Stephen said before, die to ourselves and begin to live a new life, imitating him. And so may enjoy God's presence now and forever. We learnt in Romans last term that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. And you may be very conscious of having taken bad advice in the past or even recently. Your conscience may convict you of having joined with bad company. When you look at Prince Harry, it's hard to see, isn't it, how there can be reconciliation within his family. But for us, through Christ, we can be reconciled to God, forgiven and restored for a new life with him. Last week, I gather here that hardly anyone admitted to have made a New Year's resolution. That's probably wise, because as we've been learning this morning, the chances are we won't keep it up. So let's not trust in our own resolutions for 2023, but rather the resolution of Christ, the Blessed One, our King, our Saviour.